T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for the Warriors Roundtable.
It's good!
Our Warriors insiders, Mark Spears and Mark Medina, join Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. And it starts now on 95.7 The Game.
One of the greatest stretches ever seen in the NBA. The Warriors played 110 postseason games in the last 5 years. It caught up with them severely in Game 6 of the NBA Finals, but they won an extraordinary 77 of the 110 games they played. That's a 700 winning percentage. They averaged 22 postseason games per the last 5 years. You look at what they did and you measure it against the Boston Celtics, guys, it is so much more impressive than what the Boston Celtics ever even pretended to do over the terms of a 5-year run, a 9-year run for the championship Celtics. They played 100 games over 9 years, not condensed into 5. They won 67, by the way, of those hundreds, for a 667, worse than the Warriors' percentage. The first 8 years, they only played 2 series. When a third round was added, it was best of 5. The dynasty Celtics season that the Warriors are compared to never played past the 4th week of April. The Warriors never finished a season before the 2nd week of June. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Warriors Roundtable. As we look back at the 5-year dynasty, do you think it will ever get the respect it deserves historically from the critics, from the pundits, from the older players who always want to tell you it used to be better when all evidence points to the contrary? We'll start with Mark Medina.
I think as more time passes, it will. And I think that you're already starting to see that. Like, there's fewer and fewer of those older luminaries that go with the, oh, back in my day, things were tougher. I talked with Don Nelson, who was part of that Celtics team, and he made it emphatically clear what the Warriors have been doing way more impressive because you have to account for all the player movement.
He was and they played against 22 more teams
right.
than Don Nelson.
And much more talent.
And he was saying in jest that, you know, Red Auerbach made illegal for anyone to leave the Celtics. So it was always the same group of guys for the most part every year. Where here, every team's making moves every offseason to try to unseat the Warriors.
So now we get to the question of selling Warriors basketball without a real strong feeling that, oh yeah, they're going to start their year in the Western Conference Finals. Wake me up when it gets there. The Warriors regular season, did it just get reevaluated as important, or in a weird way, is it now devalued more than ever before?
Well, it definitely was important, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the Warriors were one game away from, or I guess a game and a half away from having home court in the finals. It was that close. Like, Toronto was one game ahead. Or those the start of that game and the start of that series and possibly the end of it could have been an oracle. So I think teams that, like the Warriors, where that happens, where teams who fall shy of playoffs, they truly realize that, I know 82 games is a lot of games, but in the end, it does matter. And for the Warriors now, the target's not going to be the same when it starts because of the injuries. But they're going to have to be creative to find a co-star scoring-wise. Like, Draymond's still going to be Draymond, but who could pick up the slack scoring-wise to at least take some pressure off of Steph?
Here's one of the problems with this whole construction of next year's Warriors team. You said 47.5 was the over-under, right?
Yep.
And everybody in the room went under, besides me, who asked if they could win exactly 47.5 games. That's not a playoff team. So if we're talking about, well,
it might be in the West now.
Yeah, well, it wasn't
Clippers
this
had
year.
48 because the West is contending. Like, New Orleans is going to be a contender now.
The Kings,
I think Phoenix,
the Lakers
better.
Are better. The
What's
Pelicans
a bad
are better
team in the West next season.
guaranteed Phoenix, right? to be a bad team in the West. Phoenix is still very much in their incubation
but you're
period.
You're going to show up against them. They're going to be better coached.
The three worst teams are going to – well, Memphis could be really bad if they unload Conley and go really deep rebuild. But otherwise, everyone's going to be a tough night. And 48 was the end of the playoffs this year. So the idea of, well, they're going to be tougher in the regular season, but they'll get Clay back late and they'll be a better playoff team. If they're under 47.5, they won't have the opportunity.
By the way, if Mike Conley does get traded this offseason, Steph Curry would vault into the second position in terms of longest tenured NBA player with one team, trailing only Russell Westbrook.
Where's Clay and Draymond on that?
They're not too far behind Steph, obviously, but Curry would go into second place. Let me ask you about Steph Curry. What is the minute distribution for him next year? What are you asking him to give? A season that is built to go nowhere fast in a crazy, weird, goofy way, should the Warriors mulligan Steph Curry a little bit next year?
I don't think they go into the season doing that. I think it's if it's clear that trying to sneak in as an 8th, 7th seed just isn't worth it, then they pivot and start talking about, hey, let's get the young guys playing more. But I think going into the season, it'll be about Steph and Draymond trying to rally everyone to overachieve. And it's going to be a challenge. There's no way around it. But I think when you're looking at the tandem that Steph and Draymond have, it's so unique. It's so complimentary. And I would argue that as talented as Kevin Durant is, obviously, as a scorer, and Clay is as a shooter, I think the most important tandems out of those four players is Steph and Draymond because of the contrast of what Steph brings offensively, what Draymond brings defensively, and the fact that Draymond can help Steph with playmaking.
If I asked you two guys, who's going to be the Warriors' second leading scorer next year? How do you even begin to start to predict that?
Warriors' second leading scorer next year.
I mean, not third or fourth, second leading scorer.
That's a scary great question.
I mean, I think almost by default it's Draymond, but you don't want him to be relying on with offense, right?
No, you don't.
Anything that he added offensively was just a bonus.
I think best case scenario, the answer might be DeMarcus Cousins.
You think he's coming back?
Not necessarily. I'm saying best case.
Right.
I'm going to preface this by saying this is it too early? Here's a free agent perhaps they can afford. Danny Green?
I thought of that name. He doesn't create anything, though. And literally...
J.J. Redick's a free agent.
That one's interesting, but expensive.
Shooter on the floor.
Brook Lopez as a center would be good.
Yeah.
Bojan Bogdanovic. Probably he costs too much.
Almost all the guys that you think
another
would...
go around with Bellinelli.
You know, the Austin Rivers, Seth Curry's, almost all of the guys
Austin
that you...
actually might not be a bad pick.
Don't you
and
think he'll make
really
more?
Complimentary of,
the Warriors.
Don't you think he'll make too much, though, if he wants it? I mean, $5.7 million is not much for a combo guard that can play.
Would you give Austin a mitt?
I would. In a heartbeat, I'd give it to him.
I mean, given that your options are going to be limited there, I don't know how much better you get than Austin Rivers right now.
I don't think you do.
Or maybe a Thaddeus Young.
He can score, but he can't shoot.
I like Rudy Gay as a wing. I mean, if he's going to take a cut.
Gay would be interesting.
Yeah.
But really, all of these names we're talking about are guys who would have to say, yes, I will take less money than is available to me elsewhere.
Do you think that DeMarcus Cousins takes less money to stay? Should there be more money out there in any other jersey waiting for him?
Once that first wave of free agents are gone, the A-list is gone, someone's going to take him. Someone's definitely going to take him. I don't think he comes back.
Priced out?
Yeah. There's going to be somebody that didn't get who they want that are going to be willing to give him some money.
Do you think DeMarcus would care which team it is? Like, is there a scenario
it
where...
It depends on what the dollar is.
Yeah. So if it's the Hornets, for instance, are like, look, Kemba left, we got to do whatever we can, we'll give you 3 years at 13 per...
I think it's a
hard
question because he lost so much. Like, does it become about winning or does it become a business decision? And after what he lost, not getting signed to that extension before the injury, it might be about money for him.
Couldn't blame him.
What is the drop-dead number for him in your mind?
15
a year?
Yeah.
So anything less
perhaps
than 15?
Perhaps even maybe a little, perhaps a little more.
Okay, well, so somebody offers him some 3 years for 36. He might stay?
I don't think so.
So the drop dead number is probably.
Well, that's a good question.
I'm talking
right?
about where, you know,
that's
where.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Probably depends which team, right?
From talking to him after the last game, he's confident that he'll be healthy for next season. He's a good gamble, I think, for a team.
Warriors
but the number is definitely a curious question.
Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Spears, Mark Medina in studio with Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, yours truly. Gentlemen, the Hamptons era, is it over? Is it done? Do we ever see it again? It feels like a very significant era in the history of basketball in terms of all-time five-men-on-the-floor squads. The Hamptons five go down historically. I don't think we ever see him again, and this is as dependent on Andre Iguodala's future as it is Kevin Durant's, you know, recovery and choice to stay.
I think it could happen. And I'll tell you why. The Celtics, they went in 2008, right? 2009-8-9 season, they actually had a better team than their championship team. Garnett blows out his knee. They end up going back to the finals in 2010. If Kendrick Perkins doesn't get hurt and not play toward the end of that series, they would have been champs. So I think it's all really dependent on whether Durant returns or not. If he returns, perhaps it's like the Giants. You know, are they not a dynasty because it was every other year for that? Maybe it's not next season, but perhaps the season after that when everybody's healthy and ready to go and rested, that they could win it again.
Or then you raise an interesting question. Does Durant believe in the curative power of peer pressure? I mean, if...
Well, nah, or he wouldn't have came here in the first place.
Well, no, I'm talking about now. I mean, because his mood, he might be in a different frame of mind now than he was when he left Oklahoma City. Does he, if Andre Iguodala, in your scenario, was willing to play two more years in hopes that Durant would be there, would Durant take that into account in his thinking about what he's going to do now or not?
I think Kevin's going to do what he thinks is best for him.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the oldest guy on the team is now going to dictate what he's going to do with his future.
It's not a question of dictating, it's just, yeah. I mean, because Iguodala leads to Curry, leads to Green, leads to Thompson, leads to...
Another huge moving piece in the whole, like, Hamptons 5 in the future equation is Draymond Green.
That's right.
Yeah. Is Draymond Green going to be here in 2 years from now? I mean, that's... I think that he is going to be a wildly interesting case study next year because Draymond is going to be caught somewhere in between playing to be Defensive Player of the Year to ring the bell as loud as humanly possible in his next contract and having his minutes micromanaged by a team that is somewhere in between, all right, well, we need to invest in him going forward or we need to, what? Let him prove he can be that third scoring option. Like, how do you even go about distributing Draymond next year on the court if you're the Warriors? Because you're caught in between.
What was the guy's name from the Avengers? The villain?
Todd.
I don't really watch a lot of superhero
the
movies.
Thing on
depends
the,
which one. Thanos.
Oh, Thanos. Thanos. The thermos guy.
Rich Paul is becoming Thanos. He's got that glove now, man, and that's Draymond's agent. He's becoming perhaps the most powerful agent in the NBA. So,
but do you think LeBron wants that? Draymond on his team?
I'm not saying he has. I mean, doesn't mean Draymond goes to the Lakers. Okay. I'm just saying, you know, I wonder if he decides to make a power move with Draymond if he's not taken care of before the start of the season to maybe try to get him out of there.
Yeah, and it's obviously early, but the early reads I'm getting is that it's almost like the – Steve Kerr and Bob Myers are looking at this like what the Spurs were in the past generation, where if they can have Steph and Draymond and Klay as the equivalent of what Duncan and Ginobili and Parker were and just take care of them and then just try to find role players that fit them and reinvent whatever system to make them comfortable – that's what they think is the most realistic thing, because at least they'll always be a playoff team. They'll always have an outsider's chance of being in contention, as opposed to, hey, let's start from scratch and bottom out, because who knows how long of a time that would take.
So if that's the goal, and you know you're up against it cap-wise, and once you sign Draymond, you will be forevermore, basically, up against it cap-wise. And assuming KD does leave, let's say, for the sake of argument.
Well, that changes. That saves, you know.
Now, you're not as up against it cap-wise.
But you are, because you're still three max. So assuming Draymond gets the max, right, you're still not going to be able to add a fourth max. You're going to have to do your work around the edges.
Yeah.
My question is, does that mean maybe we think about trying to find a trade partner for Andre Iguodala this year? Is there somebody who at the trade deadline, a contending team where the same value he brings to the Warriors in a championship run he could bring to them? If the Warriors are a 500 or slightly above 500 team, Andre's 17 plus million might be about the only way you can acquire meaningful assets for years.
Yeah, I could see. I think it really depends. If they're a playoff team, he stays. And at that point, it seems like they're a rebuilding team. I could see them trying to see what kind of draft picks and maybe some young talent they could get out of him.
I just had a weird thought. We've been talking about players. What about Myers and Kerr? Hmm. How much of this churn are they likely to supervise?
Well, those questions were asked to them at the exit meetings, and you have to take it for what it's worth. It's at least on the record. They talked about how they're in it for the long haul. Steve, you always have to monitor what his back is going through, but relatively speaking, from what I understand, it's been a lot better than it was before by virtue of he didn't have to miss any games, but also just kind of everyday things have been easier for him. He's been able to golf every now and then. Bob said the same thing. Like, he really painted this whole idea of he wants to work with people he likes, and he said that he likes working with everyone here, and that's kind of their selling point right now. Like, there's so many unknowns with this team and how they fill out the roster, but they really feel like if they invest in human capital and corporate knowledge, which are the Spurs buzzwords, they feel like that will help them absorb the shock to the system, so to speak, with all these moving parts.
But I also think it flips. This is going to be the least stressful season of Kerr's career.
No expectations.
No expectations. What happens, happens. The stress level goes down for a year, whereas for Bob,
excuses are built in, kind of.
Yeah,
but he's never been called a crappy coach before, which he will be if this team is not a playoff.
Oh, Ray, he's been called a crappy coach by the people who are going to do it this year already. Trust me.
Not to near the volume.
Well, you can only coach what you have. I mean,
that's the logic.
Yeah,
the people out there aren't logical. They're not wired to be.
Hopefully this sounds a little logical to you. It's a Warriors Roundtable. Mark Spears and Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game, along with Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, here on the Damon Bruce Show. So, Mark, after Mark Spears, I just happened to bump into you after the game in the tunnels of Oracle Arena, and I saw you talking with Bob Myers, and Bob looked as if he had played. I mean, he was physically and emotionally spent, which he talked about the next day. And here's the scary thing. There is no rest for the weary.
Yeah.
Thursday, we're going over for the NBA draft. What are the Warriors doing with the 28th pick in the draft besides looking for what I'm going to describe as a Durant-like sure thing at 28? I mean, what are the Warriors seriously going to be looking at 28? I can't believe the turnaround is 72 hours from today. We're in the NBA draft.
No, I'm going to let Medina go first on this one.
Yeah, so it was just funny when I was asking Bob these questions. He's like, I can't believe the draft is next week. What are we doing? But with the obvious disclaimer is you don't know what's going to be available at 28. The sense that I get what the Warriors feel their biggest needs are is they feel like they need dependable secondary scoring, because you look at everyone outside Andre Iguodala. Can you name a guy off the bench that you know, hey, he's going to give you X amount of points per game?
No.
I can't think of really any.
I don't think you can even say that about Iguodala at this stage.
Right. And, I mean, Iguodala, at least for the postseason, regular season was different because they're handling him with care. But with the postseason, you knew he was going to give you some amount of points, and then maybe double digits was an added bonus. But I think that's the biggest priority. Secondary scoring, especially to account for the fact that they're not going to have Clay – for at least half the season.
I mean, right now the starting shooting guard is Quinn Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think the young kid might get a chance.
Evans?
Yeah. I've been really watching him. No, well, slow down.
Okay.
I've been watching him before games and talking to the Warriors about him. They've been spending a lot of time with him. His shot is improved.
I like Evans more than anybody else here. So, trust me, we had this argument before the show.
To me, like, the Warriors may have to have a defensive mindset. They might have to slow it down next season. He's improving defensively. He's been working on his shot. Like, Medina and I saw him in Sacramento in Summer League last year. I was like, what?
I remember your reaction to that.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I could go out there and I never shot a college three, but let's go. Let's go horse right now. His shot has improved. He has nice size. This is going to be a big Summer League for him. Really big. But to go to the 28th pick, this is where you see how good your scouts are. This is because, like, a guy that comes to mind, and he's been in the Bay Area for 2 years, KZ Akpala from Stanford. He's somebody that could potentially be there. You know, you got the kid from Tennessee, Grant Williams. He's interesting. A guy like
– I saw Carson Edwards from Purdue. 6'2" guard who can shoot it a lot. And I'm just going to tell you right now, as someone who's probably watched him more than anyone else in this room, even though he went to Purdue, if he is there at 28, you make that pick twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be an outstanding pick at 28.
But there's always, at 28, there's always somebody that, you know, it happens every year. And I go to the draft and I love it. I love it. I'm going. And I love it. You see the guy like Zion. I could say I saw Zion get picked, but then there's that guy that's in the green room that's just sitting there, just dying, where somebody gets picked and they're in the stands and they come out of there with their hot dog and walk down and talk to Silver first. There's always some weird dynamics. But at 28, somebody fell because, you know, they went to the strip club the night before, or you know what I mean? Something. I think there will be somebody interesting there for the Warriors, and that could be a big pickup. But this is where their people are challenged to see what they come up with.
As we close out this segment, I want to do it with this question. So, worst case scenario, wheels like start falling off of next year early. Steph Curry's ankle goes. He's got to miss 3 weeks early on. Like, it just, you know, what looked bad looks worse quickly. Would there be any fire alarm trading of either Draymond or Andre Iguodala in terms of expiring? Do you think any scenario means they pull the fire alarm on this to the extreme where the Golden State Warriors are so... You know, look like, hey, you know, make us your best offer, where they do full on. All right, we're going to go Curry rebuild. We'll see you all next year. Well, if we can get the number one pick in the draft, we'll do that.
Let me ask Medina this. Do the Warriors have their pick in 2020?
I believe so.
Yep.
I just shut everybody down. Like, the 2020 draft is interesting. They got some good players. So to me, if it's looking really bad, remember when David Robinson went to the Spurs?
Yes.
I mean, Tim Duncan, I'm sorry, went to the Spurs.
Right, where David had to be sold a tank a tank a year in order for that to happen.
Hey, that's the first step for them emulating the Spurs, right?
Yeah.
It would be. It would be a very Popovich-y thing to do.
They got this kid y'all need to watch from Memphis. I saw him at the Hoop Summit.
Yeah.
James Wiseman. He's like Garnett and Durant, like, had a baby.
You know who he is?
Who?
It's Anthony Davis. That's who he is.
He's more skilled. I think he's a little more skilled.
Yeah,
he's
but bigger. I mean, the few times I've seen him, just, you know, mid to deep range.
Yeah.
Fluid.
How about Harrison Barnes? Asked the text line.
Oh, my
No, he's a free agent. He's way out of their price range.
Yeah.
He's coming off.
They made him rich. Now they can't afford him.
Coming off a $90 million contract.
Like Cole Anthony's good. He'll be there. LaMelo Ball, we could have. You know, but Isaiah Stewart from Washington.
LaMelo Ball.
They sucked at defense.
Never forget.
But what I'm saying is the 2020 draft is going to be pretty good. They got their pick, and it's not look. Hey, man, Kevin, go rest. Clay, go rest. Steph, you know what, Steph? Go spend time with Aisha. We'll go worry about the 2020 draft.
Would Chase Center prevent them from doing that? Would it be the insurance that allowed them to do it?
Don't Steph Curry and Draymond Green prevent them from doing that? They're going to do – Steph's going to just stay home.
But if there's an injury to Steph, it's almost like they don't have to make
any moves.
No, but
I mean, if
Steph's hurt,
early,
it doesn't matter.
Right.
But, you know, you actually – I'm helping your point that you made.
Which one?
Koski, is
there have been
you were
so
talking
many.
About how good the West is.
Yeah.
And if you get behind in that race really early, it's time to just, you know, put the tent down.
I think you're right.
And start, you know, wink, tanking.
I just don't know if you can. I literally don't know because I'm not sure Steph Curry. What do you literally physically do with Steph Curry
Steph's
and Draymond Green?
Steph's a company
Green?
Guy.
They did that with LeBron, didn't they? And what pick did they get? And it helped them make this trade.
Steph's a company
I know,
guy.
But I think LeBron might be more the...
Steph could use the rest.
He could. I think it's the right idea, and I'm just not sure if it's going to be executable. Quick question, because it came in on the text line. Do we have to wait? We have to wait till after the break, don't we?
You can save that. Stow that question, because it's a whole brand-new topic. Steph Curry next year, Draymond Green next year. I don't think I want to see either guy play back-to-back. Like, we just saw what Kawhi Leonard getting workloaded did to his prospects. What might an entire year for the Warriors of load management for Curry and Draymond without a deep playoff run really to be expected, if even seen at all? Like, I think they owe it to themselves to pull Steph back to 28, 30 minutes a night, and we ain't going over it. It's an odometer issue, and we don't care if the game is even close tonight. I'd be willing to sacrifice a lot of today for tomorrow's starting next season.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I just don't think it's going to happen right away because I don't think they're in that frame of mind yet. And also, there to be buzz at Chase Center, right? But I think there might be some scenarios where they don't even have to be calculated with these things. Like Steph missed 11 games this year when he had that groin issue. Draymond missed 13. Like, they're due for some kind of injury that would make them fall behind the eight ball anyway.
But
is just about, hey, well, we're developing the players we have. We're not tanking, and then it just takes care of itself.
I just wonder if Draymond is going to swallow that during a contract year. I think you'd have to indicate to him he's getting the max from you.
Right, and that's why I'm saying I don't think they have to be calculated. I think an injury might happen anyway,
right.
And then
if it was
just
an injury,
kind of happens
sure.
naturally.
Let's keep a good thought then, shall we?
What next year looks like for Steph, Draymond, DeMarcus, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, and the role players. Who stays, who goes, and what's Kevon Looney's future look like? That and the injuries that we all care about. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, don't you go anywhere. The Warriors Roundtable continues here in a matter of moments on the Damon Bruce Show. Ray Ratto, Mark Spears, Mark Medina, and with your update, Matt Kolsky.
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Mark Spears, Mark Medina in studio with Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, yours truly, Damon Bruce. It's great to have you here for a little off-season roundtable. The off-season is officially now underway. The Toronto Raptors had their parade. Millions attended. Kawhi was actually sort of laughing at the end of it.
Enjoy this moment and have fun with it.
And now we are trying to laugh our way through an offseason which began with a good cry, I think, for every single Warriors fan watching what happened to KD and then Klay Thompson in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. And here we are already at our offseason roundtable show because we didn't get a Game 7 yesterday back in Toronto. Gentlemen, it's good to see all of you. Before we get back to the Golden State Warriors and start going through what individual seasons might look like next year, certainly the NBA offseason rang itself in with a fury. We saw the Lakers make the Anthony Davis trade finally consummated. A little bit of surprise that it happened with New Orleans, knowing how much bad blood was there. The future mortgaged? I don't know. Ingram, Ball, Hart, the number four pick in this year's draft, and two more future first-round picks. Rich Paul, serious player in this league right now. Mark Medina, you covered the the Lakers before you got up here. Do you think they gave too much to get a player that the whole world would covet in Anthony Davis?
Well, they gave up a lot because of those future draft picks. But I think when you account for everything, it was the cost of doing business. At the end of the day, if you're having LeBron James, you know, toward the latter part of his career, you have to do whatever you can to throw all the chips to give him a chance to win a title. And then I think when you look at the young guys that they gave up, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, they're all great, but they also had question marks about Lonzo's ability to stay healthy. Brandon's had a very serious ailment. Josh Hart is a role player. You can really find any of those guys. So at the end of the day, all those guys were expendable. And, you know, they had an asset with the number four pick that made that deal more possible than earlier in last year's trade deadline.
Can I just ask this, though? I agree with almost everything you said. They had to do something. Probably cost of doing business, but who are they bidding against?
I think Boston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we convinced that Boston, with Kyrie likely out the door, and
could this be the Herschel Walker trade?
It could be.
It's a lot of stuff,
but
man.
I think, you know, to answer your question, though, they had experience going through this with Paul George, and OKC decided, you know what? There's no assurances that Paul wants to stay. The word out of his camp is that he wants to be with the Lakers, and then look what happened. So I think they just didn't want to run that risk again.
Plus, they had political problems that needed to get addressed immediately. And looking from the outside, if they somehow had screwed up the Anthony Davis deal a second time, then you could literally say there is nobody in that building who understands even the rudiments of the sport. Because he wanted to come there. David Griffin was willing to send him there. I mean, so in some ways, I agree with your point, Matt, but you could still screw something up.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's done till 2 days after it's done in this league.
I mean, just look at now, from my understanding, because of the timing of this deal, they don't have enough cap space for a third max guy, right?
I thought they did.
I keep hearing conflicting things on that. It's like, one, also, when is the trade going to be consummated?
I think it matters when it's official.
Like,
they're saying July 6th.
Somebody like Kemba might be like, man, I can't wait. I'm going to go ahead and take this Charlotte money, or I'm going to take this New York money. Like, is it going to be July 6th? Is it July 30? And then has AD decided on whether or not he's going to accept a trade kicker or not? Like, am I giving back $4 million?
And that $4 million might matter, because right now they are at, as far as I can tell, they have somewhere in the neighborhood of $75 million committed dollars of cap money. There's about 109, I think, is where the cap number is expected to be.
But see, here's the thing. If they do say get a Kemba, right, the minimum free agents, the mid-level guys, they're going to get some elite guys.
Oh, yeah.
Getting back to the Golden State Warriors. Kevon Looney is going to be an unrestricted free agent this summer, and the Warriors have full bird rights, meaning they can sign him for up to the max. Clearly, he's not a max player. How much the Warriors want to pay him is going to depend on the market for him. And then, obviously, you know, Thompson and Durant are the forever looming decisions that feels like, you know, a lot of decisions will spring from whatever those decisions are. What's Looney's value? What is it now? What was it before the finals began?
I think he needs to be patient. The last thing he needs to do, unless somebody just blows his socks with a deal right out the gate, which is possible, be patient and kind of watch it, you know, materialize. Because suddenly, when all these guys go to the dance and with their, you know, collars out and they get turned down, all of a sudden, Kevon looks a lot prettier in 3 or 4 days. So maybe there is this one team that is like, okay, I'm realistic about who I am. I'm going to offer him this. But if I'm him, I'm patient, because I think he's going to have several suitors that are going to probably be willing to bid for him.
At what rate? I mean, are we talking?
It just depends on how disappointed these folks are.
330, 333, what are we talking?
He's not a mid-level player.
No, he's definitely not more than that. I think he's more than that now.
Really?
He certainly should be.
It just takes one. It just takes one, Damon. You know that. Just takes one to believe that this guy could really help him, that, man, we really could use the power forward.
Man, I'll tell you this. If I'm the Lakers and I do strike out on that third superstar player and one of the three guys I get instead could be Kevon Looney to do some dirty work next to Anthony Davis, set some screens, switch out on the perimeter defensively, I feel pretty good about that. I'll pay him.
It's good pick and roll defense, too.
A lot of good stuff. He is a consummate pro. And he's 23 years old. You sign Kevon Looney for 3 years, you might get more than you even bargained for by year three.
Here's the thing, though. Barring Looney getting just this astronomical deal, Looney wants to stay here, number one. But number two, I think the Warriors are going to be willing to spend to keep him because they have the bird rights. And because they're so far out of the salary cap anyway, that doesn't change anything. The only thing that they're losing is luxury taxes. And Joe Lacob has a history of willing to spend that. And I think the worst case scenario is for some reason Looney isn't the same player he was, or in a bigger role he's not the same. They can still trade him for some value down the line. But because of where the Warriors at right now with so much uncertainty, they need to have at least one role player locked up.
I think he'll be here.
Then what are they paying them? Let's put a dollar sign on the muscle here. What's he worth to the Warriors? What's he worth outside?
I think the Warriors would pay him 10.
Yeah, I think 330 would be reasonable for the Warriors.
So that means if they're paying,
but you're also talking
if they're
about
paying 10, but there's now you put 40% on top of that, right?
Well, it depends on the Durant situation too, how much luxury tax you'll end up paying on it. But yeah, it's
a big number.
Look, they're all big numbers for Joe Lacob's pocketbook. But if he's going to start using that now, a lot of people are going to turn on him.
I think that. The one thing you got to keep in mind with him is he's got his championships. It's time to get paid.
Our NBA roundtable show here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Spears and Mark Medina in with us. Let's talk about Sean Livingston, who I hate to say played a huge role in the Warriors going nowhere fast in this NBA Finals. The gargantuan fork sticking out of his back was pretty obvious to me. He is under contract for $7 million. Will Sean retire this offseason?
I talked to him after the last game. He sounded like he's leaning towards retirement. I think if a team on the West Coast wants him and he could stay on the West Coast, I think he'd consider playing, but it sounded like he was leaning towards retirement.
One more tip of the cap with the Clippers?
Yeah.
Sure.
His family's out here. I could tell he doesn't want to leave California.
The Warriors are going to cut him, though. Because if they cut him, it's only $2 million. So I would say there's no chance.
Sacramento should take him.
Sure.
For a locker room guy. All the young guys they have.
So is Quinn Cook. You know, Quinn Cook is now either your backup two guard or your starting two guard. Is he back with the Warriors next year? What is Quinn Cook's value as far as the NBA is concerned?
I think he's back. I don't think he's going to get a lot because he's not consistent with his play. But the Warriors like him because of how professional he is. And he's a good locker room guy. And he's a guy that gets along with everyone. And I think that there's a lot of questions of how consistent he can be as a three-point shooter and how consistent he can be with a defender. But the feeling with the Warriors is that who knows to what extent, but that it will continue to get better. And he's going to be inexpensive to keep.
I see Jacob Evans right now starting a shooting guard. I might sound crazy, but if he has a solid summer and they don't pick up a big free agent or a Rodney Hood type, let's just watch him this summer. If he has a really good summer, maybe they put their money in the mid-level or whatever in a different area.
Mm. And for all the critique of Cook, he was still a 40% three-point shooter last year. So, you know, those don't grow on trees. And if no one – he's restricted, so they can match any offer he gets, which I think means he probably won't get much of an offer. If he costs $2 million, sure.
Of all the draft picks still on the team, I don't know if Jordan Bell would find anyone beating to him to most disappointing recent draft pick. I still like his athleticism, though. I think that there is a player to be found in there somewhere if he can get his, you know, on-court IQ up, if he could get his offensive acumen up a little bit, if he could get his head in the game a little bit more. What does Jordan Bell's future look like, and is his future with the Golden State Warriors in any significant way?
I don't think the Warriors have shut the door on him, but I think it's more they're going to look to see what else is available first, and if there's nothing available, they'll circle back to him. I don't think he's going to be back with the Warriors.
Do you think anybody makes him an offer?
I think he'll get an offer, yeah. But I think the way I understand it, the Warriors are not going – they'll have the you touch base when free agency starts conversation, but – they're not going to.
Not a priority.
They're not going to look to sign him until after all the dust settles elsewhere.
All basketball, or is it Mike Brown's candle in the wind still blowing?
See, yeah. I think the problem is they believe that the level the approach that leads you to purchase something on Mike Brown's room is the same thing that allows you to occasionally be lost on a basketball floor. Does that make sense?
You know, we haven't talked about McKinney. I think he's back.
He's back. Yeah.
$1.5 million.
Yeah. That's a non-guaranteed team option, I think.
Yes, and for a guy who was reasonably productive.
I thought he was okay in the finals.
I love him.
I mean,
I love his rebounding.
Given the fact I've got zero expectation for him, he's always over-delivering.
Yeah.
He's $1.5 million for a guy who consistently affects the game with rebounding. That sounds pretty good to me.
Hit the corner three, defends well.
Yeah.
He's back.
Bogut's gone.
Well, he's going back to Australia, yeah. But one of the reasons
he owns that team he came from, so he's right. Got to mind the shop.
And also, one of the reasons I don't think they're going to look at centers much at all is I think they feel like they can go back to that well if they have to.
Maybe he is there. Maybe he is that option they could go back to.
When NBL season ends.
Damian Jones, I've heard Steve Kerr glow about his athleticism and
he's gotta
how
take
raw
it up another
he is.
Level.
Can he?
Does he play this summer, Mark?
He kind of has to, right? Because, yeah, he's been hurt for a while. And when he came back in limited minutes in the playoffs, it was not the best we've seen of Damian. So I could see him doing it just because he had been hurt for half the season, but we'll see.
Now,
and he has to become a better rebounder.
Yep, and defender.
This is not a question that addresses a need for youth in any way, shape, or form, but the Warriors got needs beyond how old are you coming up for next year? Derrick Rose.
He's not as old as you think.
No, he's not, but his miles
his
are.
Body,
yeah, his body's Ray Ratto.
He's set a couple.
It's 30. He's 30 years old, and he looked pretty good physically last year. I'm not advocating for it.
I think they got to be creative.
Saying.
Yeah.
They got to be creative. Why not? Just like, like we mentioned Rivers. Be creative.
The problem with Derrick is he doesn't defend.
Well, here's the thing. I think given the Warriors' limited spending powers, right, Derrick Rose is probably more realistic to be able to get. I mean, I think he made $2 million last year?
You could give him the minimum.
Yeah.
He's been around for a while.
Minimum veteran, who would you rather spend it on, Jamal Crawford, Derrick Rose, or who else are we talking about?
Vince Carter.
I love Jamal.
Vince Carter.
I'd probably, why not get all three?
Yeah, I think Rose is the one of those three who's most likely to have the season you're hoping for.
I mean, if you're doing minimum, you could get all three. Sure. And then the league pays half of it. Because they've been around 10 years.
Crawford and Carter are so old, though. I just don't... It's one thing
right,
to be... No, I know, but we're talking 40. Carter's 43 next year. Jamal, I think, will be 40. It's one
but
thing
I,
to
I
say
would,
we're not getting
take,
younger.
I would take Rose and Crawford.
And Jamal
for minimum contracts.
How many mofos on this show? This is the New Hamptons Five. Welcome to our Warrior Roundtable. Very good question. Ray Ratto, Mark Spears, Mark Medina, Matt Kolsky. What do you got, Ray?
I don't get the sense that you're keeping McKinney and you have a place for Cook. And I don't see a lot of roster churn, so I don't see a lot of room to get creative. I think if everybody likes what they like,
you could be creative with minimum.
Yeah, creative is just who you can get with the mid-level and minimums. Yeah,
okay, but are you really changing what you're,
You better.
Do they feel like this is good enough to stand on in 2 years is the question.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're getting Band-Aids.
No matter
what. That's my point. Yeah. I mean, it gets back to what their essential mindset is, are we just trying to get through 2020 because we know we don't have
Well, don't you think that's the case either way? No matter what Durant...
But I don't know if they're ready to admit that to themselves yet.
Yeah.
I think there's some more staff meetings, and they're going to happen after the draft because they know what they're getting in the draft.
I think there's by default there's at least some roster spots open with Jarepko's not coming back, so that's number one.
Yeah, you got to fill the aging Swede.
Yes. Kevin's expected to leave.
Well, he's not there anyway. Whether he's signed or not, that's a roster spot to fill for Kevin Durant. You've got the Jarebko roster spot. You got the Bogut roster spot, potentially the Boogie roster spot. Like, there are spots to fill. Yeah. Jordan Bell potentially leaving. There's spots.
Well, let me just throw this out, because we've been talking about a lot of the things that I think people have thought of. No one has thought of Klay Thompson actually putting on another uniform. Like, Kevin Durant is a decision we've all braced ourselves for. If Klay Thompson were to reach the unthinkable decision of, I am going to go somewhere else, what would then that do to the Warriors next year?
Then they're doomed. Then it's done.
You're the New Jersey Nets.
Then you do talk about trading Draymond because you need to start building
it
all over again.
Blow it up.
Yeah, but I refuse to entertain that possibility.
Hey, it hurts.
Not happening.
Suck it up, Junior.
No, I won't.
We have 10 more minutes. Eat it.
Five, right? Four
now. I mean, seriously, that's the point at which you go, well, Armageddon is now in the rearview mirror.
It's not happening.
I'd be stunned.
I mean, I think we all would be, but
since you brought it up. Maybe that is LeBron and Clay's ear now.
Clay wants to play with LeBron.
What outside source could be like the wafts of smell off an apple pie cooling in the window to actually have Klay Thompson like, all right, I'll at least come listen to your pitch.
Rocco.
Yeah.
That's it. Somebody would have to channel Rocco.
Or if, like, the best of Instagram started a basketball team.
I don't believe that his father has sway over him in this area. This is entirely his choice.
Yeah.
And he's given no indication at any point that he was anything other than completely enthralled by where he is. And blowing out his knee was not a team choice. I mean, it wasn't a thing where you go, well, I wouldn't have blown out my knee if I was on another team, you know, except that, you know,
and he's
going to
get the most
money.
The
finals.
Hmm? Yeah, and he doesn't like change.
Yeah. So, I mean, I mean, as unthinkable as it is, I will simply say this. If he did do this, one, we'd all be stunned, and two, you could basically, there'd be tumbleweeds in that building in 2 years.
You want to hear the crazy one I heard?
Give it to me.
Atlanta.
For Clay?
Because
Travis Schlenk.
They already got Herder, though.
Right, they already got Chelsea. They can't have Clay, too. That's nuts.
Wait a minute.
They got Kevin Herder. That's the crazy one I heard.
Okay. I like it. Let me ask you. Go ahead.
No.
With a young Splash Brother, with, you know, the young kid.
Had enough of Steph. Let's go see Trae Young.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to ask you your source.
No, I just said crazy rumor.
But ain't
no source. It's just
okay. Because that's the other thing about this time of year. Now the lying gets revved up almost like turbine speed.
That's what the trade machine's for. This is what this time of year is all about.
No, but I mean, no, the lies go into hyperdrive. We've been hearing lies about a lot of people all year. Now it's lies about everyone. They are delivered at top speed, and in the end, Woj will be typing so fast they will have no fingers left. Which, I mean, I would find moderately amusing, but I mean, I that's the thing to me is that you're going to hear things that make less than no sense.
Final question for the roundtable, gentlemen. This has been great. Thank you for coming in. We just asked a rough one about Clay. I got one more rough one because no one really wants to think of this. But if you aren't planning for the end, you ain't making the good plans. Who will be with the team longer, Steve Kerr or Bob Myers?
Ooh.
Kerr.
Bob Myers is gone first. Why?
I mean, I see Steve being here a long time. Bob's a really interesting guy. I think maybe he might have other interests at some point.
Outside of basketball.
He could be an agent again. He could be a TV star. He could go to L.A. if Pelinka messes up. Bob will have options.
Was Bob's reputation in any way, I don't want to say damaged, but shook by the Durant situation?
I think if anything, it was enhanced because of that tearful press conference where unprompted he said, hey, if you're going to blame someone, blame me.
I did like that accountability.
And when you talk to the Warriors, no one had even thought, oh, yeah, Bob's responsible. But they thought it was a very nice gesture in the fact that he went to bat for Kevin, and it was very genuine. There was nothing calculated as far as just his feelings for Kevin in that incident.
I also think it's Kerr because there's a better-than-average chance that Myers could leave for equity, which I don't know would be available to him with these guys.
And I don't
unless they want to give him the Mark Stevens exception.
It would also not be available to Kerr somewhere else.
Well,
and I also
make,
don't.
They could make Steve Kerr the next general manager,
right?
And then have him forego coaching.
Sure, but I'm saying equity to coach somewhere else is not something anybody would be able to offer Steve Kerr. So I'm with Ray on that, and I think in addition to that, Kerr just feels a little more to me like the, well, whenever this wraps up, I'm going to head over there to the beach and relax. Whereas Myers, I could see wanting something different, a new challenge sort of a deal.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on in. This really was a great couple of hours. I'm glad we were able to bring in both Mark Spears and Mark Medina to join us for a little Warriors roundtable. It's going to be a very interesting week that's going to go by as quickly as if it were still the playoffs, because come Thursday, we've got the NBA draft. I know, Mr. Spears, you are going to cover the draft. Mr. Medina, we will see you over at the Rakuten Performance Center covering the Warriors.
For the last time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
When is it officially closed? When did they transition to that?
Where's the Rakuten stories? The video on Rakuten?
Like the boxes that are giving out money, if I say it right?
The great moments from there, like Sprewell choking PJ Carlos.
Yeah, all the wonderful, incredible things that have happened in that building.
Yeah.
The conventions at the Marriott.
The youth volleyball tournaments.
Who asked the worst question 12 times in a row to Steve Kerr in the last few years?
We know the answer to that.
I saw Bill Russell get honored there.
That's cool.
That's actually cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool. Look, I'll tell you, the Rakuten Center last year is where my mind changed about KD like forever. And I didn't want to hear any more about criticism because 3 days after the Warriors parade last year, we were there for the draft show, and he was working out full lather individual, and that's who he is. So we'll wrap up this show by saying, rehab that bad boy and come back just as strong. Klay Thompson, we say the same for you. Gentlemen, thank you. We tapped into you all year. You are extraordinary. We'll be tapping into you throughout this off season as well. Mr. Spears, Mr. Medina, tip of the cap to you both. Thank you very much. One more hour remains. Don't you go anywhere. It's coming up courtesy of Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. And you're not going to believe this. We heard it might be baseball season.
Ugh. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.